They came after me and told me he could live if I would work for them. He knew nothing of this, but he was allowed to write to me. The letter arrived on the 15th of each month. I found I couldn't stop. I couldn't bear the idea of a 15th coming round without his letter. It would mean that I had killed him. I tried to give them as little as possible. You must believe me about this. Then it came to you. I told them you had been given this job at Royale, what your cover was, and so on. That was why they knew about you before you arrived, and why they had time to put the microphones in. They suspected Le Chiffre, but they didn't know what your assignment was, except that it was something to do with him. That was all I told them. Then I was told not to stand behind you in the casino, and to see that neither Mathis nor Leiter did. That was why the gunman was nearly able to shoot you. Then I had to stage that kidnapping. You may have wondered why I was so quiet in the nightclub. They didn't hurt me, because I was working for MWD. But when I found out what had been done to you, even though it was Le Chiffre who did it, and he turned out to be a traitor, I decided I couldn't go on. By that time I had begun to fall in love with you. They wanted me to find out things from you while you were recovering, but I refused. I was controlled from Paris. I had to ring up an Invalide number twice a day. They threatened me, and finally they withdrew my control, and I knew my lover in Poland would have to die. But they were afraid I would talk, I suppose, and I got a final warning that Smersh would come for me if I didn't obey them. I took no notice. I was in love with you. Then I saw the man with the black patch in the Splendide, and I found he had been making inquiries about my movements. This was the day before we came down here. I hoped I could shake him off. I decided that we would have an affair and I would escape to South America from Le Havre. I hoped I would have a baby of yours and be able to start again somewhere, but they followed us. You can't get away from them. I knew it would be the end of our love if I told you. I realized that I could either wait to be killed by Smersh, would perhaps get you killed too, or I could kill myself. There it is, my darling love. You can't stop me calling you that or saying that I love you. I am taking that with me and the memories of you. I can't tell you much to help you. The Paris number was Invalide 55200. I never met any of them in London. Everything was done through an accommodation address, a newsagent's at 450 Charing Cross Place. At our first dinner together you talked about that man in Yugoslavia who was found guilty of treason. He said, "I was carried away by the gale of the world." That's my only excuse. That, and for love of the man whose life I tried to save. It's too late now, and I'm tired, and you're just through two doors. But I've got to be brave. You might save my life, but I couldn't bear the look in your dear eyes. My love. My love. V. Bond threw the letter down. Mechanically he brushed his fingers together. Suddenly he banged his temples with his fists and stood up. For a moment he looked out towards the quiet sea, then he cursed aloud one harsh obscenity. His eyes were wet, and he dried them. He pulled on a shirt and trousers, and with a set, cold face he walked down and shut himself in the telephone booth. While he was getting through to London, he calmly reviewed the facts of Vesper's letter. They all fitted. The little shadows and question marks of the past 4 weeks, which his instinct had noted but his mind rejected, all stood out now like signposts. He saw her now only as a spy. Their love and his grief were relegated to the box room of his mind.